exciting to you?
It's Sunday night. Smells like Sunday night. We're back. I swear to God, every time we start the show, stuff goes wrong, man. There's like a demonic force in this house or something, in the studio, the G&D Show studio. Hell, you got. Anyway, soon as I sit down in the chair and I queued up the music, I'm getting ready to go live. We're counting it down, and I turn our mics on. Our mics are hot. The tripod in the office collapses by itself. It's been standing up for 2 weeks. It just collapses down. The picture on the wall, the Godzilla picture in the studio, goes falling off the wall. And I think it's haunted in here, man. John Dillinger poster. I got this new John Dillinger poster hanging up here in the office. Everybody knows John Dillinger. Legendary Indiana gangster. Huh? Yeah.
Yes.
I don't support the gangster stuff. I support the history. I like the history. Yes, indeed. Ladies and gentlemen, listeners around the world, welcome back to the Mystifying Oracle of Radio, your Ghostman and Demon Hunter show. Once again, this is Sunday night. And that band, Demon Hunter.
Yes.
Circus of Dead Squirrels. You can find out more about them at circusofdeadsquirrels.net. Make sure to check those guys out, huh? I like them, man.
I would like to see more dead squirrels in circuses.
Yeah, I would too. These guys are wild. I don't know if you've seen the picture, man. They said we're right up their alley. I mean, you know, the theatrics and paint and stuff like that. And so I said, I gotta have them, man. Circus of Dead Squirrels, guys. Circusofdeadsquirrels.net, man. Thanks for letting us use your music, guys. You rock. Yeah, I really liked it. So what's going on in your neck of the woods, man? What's happening out there?
Dude, you know, you get home, you run home after work, because we do this show on our own time, man, and yeah, I was at work all day today.
Yeah.
And first of all, okay, ADD DJ kicking in here, ADD DJ.
All right.
I'm running around at work today, and I was mentioning, you know, the show that we do, and I work in the entertainment field, so I'm talking movies with the people I work around, and I'm like, well, you know, Vincent Price, still one of my favorite actors of all time.
Yeah.
And one of the young people that works in the office looks over and goes, who's Vincent Price?
Right.
I'm like, how can you work in the entertainment field and not know who Vincent Price is? How is that even possible?
Dude, we're old. We're getting old. If you know what the 70s were, you're wrong. You're old. Doesn't happen.
If you can remember the 70s.
If you walked in the 70s. I can remember a little bit of the 70s. I remember seeing my brother's disco jacket and pants laying on the floor and an actual first edition of the Jaws book laying on his... Yeah. Laying on his floor up there. The big floppy collars. I remember that. I wasn't wearing them. I was more the Michael Jackson zipper. Did you ever have a zipper, a members only jacket or whatever?
You know, I never had a zippers members only jacket because I got hand-me-downs of all my, like, brothers' clothes from the 70s.
See, I did, too.
I was a 70s child. I just was very young in the 70s. I remember, if you remember, I worked on a farm, and I was in 4-H.
Yes, I remember.
And when you showed animals, you had to wear all-white clothes.
Right.
But you weren't allowed to wear bell-bottoms. And I challenge you to travel back in time to the 1970s and try and find a pair of white pants that were not bell bottoms. It's impossible. You can't do it.
You can't do it.
You can't. You couldn't do it then. You couldn't travel back in time and do it now.
And you won't do it now.
I would give you $10 if you could travel back in time and find a pair of white bell bottoms in the 1970s. For men.
Yeah. A lot of women. Women. The pants for women back then were hot. Am I wrong? I mean, everything was just, you know, real tight and, you know. I mean, that's where the fashions are going back, you know, like Daisy Duke. I mean,
anybody willing to bring bell bottoms back never got their leg caught in the bike chain of their bike as they were and had to walk their bike home going, Mom, I'm in, they're stuck in my bike again.
Disco Inferno, baby. Fire in the disco. Did you ever disco?
No, I did not disco. Refused disco. Even when Kiss went disco, I did not disco. It was just a bad scene.
Did you just say Kiss Disco?
Yeah, Kiss did a disco album for a while there when they brought in that other singer. I forget what his name was.
Did they really?
Yeah, no makeup, and they went disco, man. It was just bad.
I didn't know they did that.
Yeah.
We learn something new every day. We'll have to look that up. What was the name of the album? Might have been Disco Inferno. Maybe
I'll find it.
Fire in the Disco. Well, you know, ADD kicking in, you said you're in the entertainment industry, and I wondered, do prostitutes, can they say that they're it's entertaining, right?
Well, you tell the world.
What about the prostitutes that there's some of these ladies out there that can do tricks, man. They're skilled. You know, for the right price, they can
entertainment then.
It's shoot ping pong balls and trapeze. I mean, there's a lot of stuff out there, man. You know, for the right price.
Gooly mooly.
Yeah.
You scare me. You really do.
That's the entertainment industry for you. That's where it comes from. I just heard a door. Did you fall out of your chair, or was that a door?
I fell out of my chair. You made me laugh so hard.
Wow.
Folks, just in case you didn't know, I'm a little unprepared this evening.
You are?
I think the disco song that was really famous from Kiss was I Was Made for Loving You.
I Was Made for Loving You. I wonder, did they say anything in the chat room? Listeners around the world, anybody, did they mention?
Anybody remember the Kiss Disco?
Yeah. We got some disco people out there. You got Nitro.
They're saying, how dare you say that, Nathan? No, it's true, folks. Remember, even Gene Simmons says, yeah, that was a mistake.
Yeah, but he's still got a long-running reality TV show married to that blonde chick that's stacked. What else was it? What else? In a huge house. So apparently it wasn't that big a mistake, okay?
But anyway, the story went ADD as usual. I'm driving home, and I'm just starving. And all I can think is I got to get home. I got to eat something so I can set up for the show tonight. And I run into the house, and I start grabbing anything I can find to eat before I have to do the show. So I'm eating, I made hot dogs. Ooh. I had potato salad. Oh. I'm pulling out dill pickles.
Dill.
I'm, grabbing ice cream, anything I can scarf down just before the show.
Now you got the bubble guts.
Well, no, the worst part was just before I grabbed a can of baked beans and I looked at it and I was like, wait, I'm going to be in an airtight, soundproof room for the next 20 minutes with a condenser microphone so everybody can hear the sounds my stomach is making. Nope, no baked beans this evening.
Just turn your level down. That's what I do. You can blow it out, man. Just turn the level down and it works. It does. It's happened.
I'm going to save the baked beans for the night that you and I have to work together.
Right. The beans. Explosive. Anyway. Listeners around the world. Nathan, now, were you going to do this one too or just when we come back?
No, you can do this one.
Okay.
Listeners around the world. You are so good at this, I would not try to interfere.
But I'm not that good at the comeback after the commercial. Is that what you're saying?
I just want to be the one to bring her in. Just do your job, man. Do your job.
Without further ado, listeners around the world, Demon Hunter.
Bum, bum, bum.
Tonight's guest. Yes! From Destination Truth, Chasing UFOs, Aaron Ryder stops by, guys. Actor, director, writer. I don't know if you can say actor. Reality TV star, director, writer, producer. She's been in everything, guys. She's out there. She's ready to go. You might have seen her from Chasing UFOs, Destination Truth. And we're going to ask her the inside scoop about the aliens, sea monsters, Sasquatch, and whatever else she's been all over doing, Demon Hunter. She's checked it all out. But tonight, Aaron Ryder.
Here on the G&D Show.
Here on the G&D Show. She will be here, guys.
And for some reason, I'm blocked out of the chat room. I can read what everybody's saying, but I can't get in there to say anything.
So. Oh, yeah? Aaron Ryder. She's a hot chick.
Aaron Ryder.
Yeah.
Supermodel of the paranormal.
Yeah. Aaron Ryder, Destination Truth, Chasing UFOs, big score for Nathan Schoonover, big score for the G&D Nation.
Dun, dun, dun.
You know, I was trying to decide, I didn't get to ask you before the show, if I was going to talk about a recent activity about a gentleman that I got emailed from this week, but I don't think I am, Demon Hunter. I think you know what I'm talking about, right?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, it was a first, and I don't think, it's not a good idea, is it? No.
Oh, it's always a good idea.
Hmm. You think so? Think I should say it?
No.
No, I don't. That's good. It's always a good idea. Don't say it, though. That's terrific. That's terrific. You're not confusing.
Googly moogly.
Yes, great googly moogly. Guys, once again, this is Sunday night. This is the Misfiring Oracle.
I am not here to help you. I am just here to make sure you don't get us arrested.
That's terrible. You jumped right into my line there, right?
Yeah, well, you had it coming.
That's rude. Mystifying Oracle Radio, this is your Ghostman and Demoner show. We know you missed us, because we're the greatest thing on, what are we on? We're on internet radio, we're on across the world. Broadcast on Saturn. I don't know.
Picked up by Martians.
Little green men. Yeah, it's been a crazy day today. The tornadoes are holding off, but the sky is rapidly turning black. It is becoming, you know, evening, but
it's that green sky you gotta watch.
Green sky. You know, I've survived one of those. A green tornado. It was green, bluish, and it actually spun around our house. It was kind of comical.
The black tornado that scary. I drove into. Was scary, but I gotta admit, the scariest thing I ever saw was when I was literally standing outside of all things. Do you remember the movie Twister?
Release the hounds!
Oh yeah, absolutely.
When they run into the barn, mm-hmm. and to hide from the tornado, and it's full of like all the different sharp implements in there.
That was you.
I pull over because literally I see the sky turn green, and then the air turns green.
Yeah.
And I'm driving down the road, and the hail starts to hit my car.
Ooh.
And I literally pull into this driveway and jump out of my car in front of this business, and I grab like this dog that's tied up outside of the dog. It's like yelping because it's getting hit, pelted by hail. Mm. And it's a German Shepherd, and I'm not even worried about getting bitten at this time. I just want to get this poor animal indoors because it's tied up outside. And we run inside, and you can hear that there's a tornado on the way. You can just feel it in the air.
You can hear it.
What is the store? It is a knife store. I run into a room filled with sharp knives hanging on the wall.
Sounds like a late night Twilight Zone. You sure you didn't see this?
I'm just looking around going, no, no, no. I'm safer in the car. Oh, my God.
And then after the storm, you were the last man and you broke your glasses. It was just you and the dog. You went, no!
No, there was time at last.
Nobody's going to get that. They might. They might get that. I don't know. I thought it was funny, but you've survived it. So you were in a barn, you were casting the Twister movie.
It looked like a shed.
You were in a
knife shop.
It was
a scary looking building, but it was the only thing around. So I ran in, and it was literally a knife and like sword store. And I'm not talking like the stainless steel swords you buy to like hang on your wall. This was like antique sharpened carbon steel swords.
Hey, do you remember the show Pulp Fiction? I would like to buy the movie rights to your story you just gave me, sir. I want to buy those rights. And what I want to do is when you grab the puppy and you run into that knife shop, I want that Zed guy to come out with his gimp. And that wouldn't have been a bad day. You survived a tornado, but Zed and his gimp come out and get you.
You are a very scary man with your painting, sir.
And your little dog, too. I'd rather take on the Twister. Zed's dead, baby. Oh, man, you are dirty.
I'm dirty. You're the one. You. No, no.
Oh. Nah, it's low.
I turned it down because you complained that I was overpowering you last week.
Don't you have like a medium range? Huh?
Oh, yeah.
Little higher.
Wrong.
Perfect.
You're wrong.
You're wrong. Hey, better. Nate, before, you know, usually we talk for a while and then we go into our news segment and everything. Ladies and gentlemen. Listeners around the world, here on the G&D Show, we always strive to bring you the latest, the greatest in news and weird stories from around the nation.
Along with zombie tips and everything else we can think of.
Yeah, news of the week, you know, what, movies, hot movies out there, hot TV show series. But we found something today, very special, and I was going to get it up to you, and it's funny, we're talking about 1970, and... this comes out of 1975. It's a public service announcement. And, of course, I got this off our good friends at the Huffington Post, reporter Ron Dicker. I want to play this for you, Demon Hunter.
I'm sure you do.
It's a public... Are you ready for this? Are you ready for it?
Are you saving this for your children as they get older, Sean, so they're prepared for the future?
I am. I want to do that. Yes. No, I got this. I want to play it for him. It's a public service announcement from 1975, guys. And it's apparently it features Ricky, little Ricky. And unfortunately, little Ricky was caught by his mom masturbating in his bedroom. And she's explaining to him, oh, well, just listen. Demon Hunter?
I'm ready.
Without further ado, PSA, public service announcements for 1975, masturbation is healthy. Here we go.
Ricky, I did see what you were doing. It felt good, didn't it? It's all right. We all have feelings like this sometimes. I'm just glad you're doing this in the privacy of your own room.
Oh, no, Mom!
When you're a little bit older, we'll have to talk more about these feelings.
Shame on you, Ricky.
And what causes them.
Dirty
and
freak.
And how we can control these feelings.
So that your hands
I'm
don't grow hairy.
I'm sorry I intruded on your privacy. I'll be sure to knock next time.
What, Mom? We don't knock anymore!
Mom, where are you? I've gone blind.
This response frees the child of guilt and assures him.
Hold on, say
no response free.
Oh, wait, please.
Okay.
Thanks, Mom. Listen, Demon Hunter, here's it. It's important.
This manner of response frees the child of guilt and assures him he's normal. It opens communication between parent and child and introduces the concept of responsibility for his behavior.
Good boy, Ricky. You deserve a trophy.
I don't want to know what that trophy's going to be shaped like.
That's a real public service announcement from 1975. I should have told you play-by-play at the beginning. When the music shifted, that's when his mom walked in. But when it was nice and quiet, he was jerking his gherkin right there. These 1975 orange sheets. Oh, wow. Long Ranger curtains.
I remember when I made that public service announcement. Oh.
Hell, who never got caught by their mom? I never did.
30 years ago.
I was sneaky. I was crafty. Yes. I was crafty. That was little Ricky, though. What was his name? Ricky? Yeah.
Was that Ricky? Little Ricky?
Yeah.
Which Ricky? I don't know which Ricky you mean.
His mom came in and said,
"You don't have what they call the social skill."
Because you stay in your room and play with yourself, little Ricky.
Scare me. You scare me, sir. Is that all you have to bring us this week?
No, I got more, but that was... we could spend another 20 minutes on that, man. You know what? I guess
I'm afraid you will.
We probably need to go on the news, huh? Is that what you're trying to say?
No, that's not what I'm trying to say.
G&D! You ready?
In the news.
It's hot. It's fresh. It's always entertaining. And it's hot. There's a lot of stories. And it starts right
now.
Ooh.
Did you like that one?
I did like it. It's right on cue. Like we've been doing a show together for a couple years or something. Uh-oh. I lost my Huffington Post site there. Dude, little Ricky took the cake. We might as well stop and just talk about that.
I don't want to talk about it. It makes me uncomfortable.
Yes. Yes. Are you going to lead off or am I?
You know what? Folks, we here at the G&D Show do our best to bring you the most popular weird news we can find. Yes. Without reading it first, we go strictly by the titles.
Yeah, we want to be surprised with you guys, like little Richie when his mom walked in. Caught him peeling the banana.
Unawares. And so if we make a mistake, remember that you have to take a drink, yes. Unless, of course, you're driving or plan to be driving immediately after listening to the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show, in which case, don't drink and drive. Drink. Stay where you are.
I told you not to bother me when I'm cleaning my room.
Drink responsibly from the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show.
Absolutely, guys. Drink up. I know I am right now. I'm drinking responsibly.
Let's see. What I have here. The UN urges eating insects. 8 popular bugs to try. Ants are sweet and nutty little insects, aren't they? I'm not talking about their personalities, but their taste.
Really? Okay.
Apparently. Stink bugs have an apple flavor. And red worms are spicy. The bite of a tree worm apparently brings pork ribs to mind.
Really?
Okay. I should not have taken this story because I see there's going to be a lot of... information comes to us, comes in handy to us following the latest recommendations from the United Nations. Consume more insects. That's what they said. Oops. And my whole page disappeared there, Sean. I think you're right. It's going to be a bad luck.
It's going to be one of those nights, brother. But we're going to pick up and go on. Do you want me to carry the torch? I can.
Yeah, you carry the torch. Well, let me just read the 8 bugs the United Nations.
Bug it up.
Number 1, beetles.
Ooh.
I didn't enjoy the original British invasion. I'm not going to...
Hard day's night.
Butterflies and moths. Apparently,
it used to be a song we used to sing in church when I was a kid.
Apparently, they go well with Mexican liquor. I don't know.
Bullfrogs and butterflies. Singing.
Bees and wasps.
I was singing it when I was in first grade.
Ants. Okay. Well, ooh. What kind of ants? I guess they mean
chocolate
red
covered.
Ants. They're saying. Yeah. Basically, they're saying red ants are the best ants to eat. Grasshoppers, crickets, and locusts.
Have you ever had chocolate grasshopper?
I have had chocolate grasshoppers.
Have you really?
A kid in my school brought them in and handed them out to everybody and then told us what they were.
You sure it was chocolate grasshopper and not like a turd cut up to look like a grasshopper?
Chocolate grasshoppers. I remember it was fifth grade and the teacher let him do it. The teacher knew that they were chocolate grasshoppers and let us all eat it and then told us what it was. So nowadays, that teacher would be sued.
Yeah, can't eat it.
Fleas and mosquitoes. Not as popular as some of the other insects, but edible.
School's probably closed now.
Water boatmen and back swimmers. Ooh. Well, I guess those are...
Backstrokers?
Those little bugs you see move across the water there.
Backstrokers like little Robbie Richie. He was a front stroker.
If he could have found somebody to eat him, he wouldn't have had to do it himself.
Front stroker. Oh, you're terrible.
And stink bugs are number 8. Apparently, they're ideal for chomping on and have a nice apple flavor. And nope. Unless the zombies attack, Sean, and I've got nothing to survive on, I'm probably
you're
not going to bugs there. It's.
You're not going to do it?
Probably not going to do it. No. I'm sorry. I know you recommend it, but can't do it. Can't bring myself to it, man.
Yeah. I'd eat them. I mean, if I was hungry, I'd eat them. I'd eat them. Anyway, in the news, guys, are we done with your story?
We're done with my story.
In the news, Jody Areola. I just want to say Areola. It's actually Arias. Jody Arias, jury questions and private trial conversations released by Arizona court. You ready?
Okay.
Here we go. This is Jody. Jody spent 18 days on the stand, but it could have gone on for much longer, says the Huffington Post. A series of over 400 questions composed by jurors, including those never asked by Areola's in court. I got to see it twice. Have been released by a Maricopa County Superior Court judge, 12 News reports. Queries not fielded by the convicted murderer include brainbusters such as, what is your understanding of the word skank? And did you ever intend... See, that's where I was getting around to the story. What is the understanding of the word skank? And did you ever intentionally hurt or a pet or animal? Okay?
Okay.
That's sounds like we're cross-examining her. Okay, Arizona is one of the 3 states that allows jurors to submit questions to a witness. The judge screens those questions and weeds out the ones that are inappropriate. Where was he on that day? Okay. Maricopa County Superior Court Judge Sherry Stevens also unsealed selections from sidebars and in-chambers conversations with attorneys. The transcripts document bickering between defense attorney Jennifer Wilmot and prosecutor Juan Martinez at one point. Martinez tells Wilmot, maybe you ought to go back to law school. That's what Arizona Central reports. That's a paper. Discussions that detail death threats against witnesses and attorneys remain closed, according to the Detroit Free Press. Wow, they're all covering this. The documents also include correspondence between Stevens and the jury during the deliberations of the death penalty phase, when the deadlocked panel could not come to a unanimous decision or whether Areola should be sentenced to death. HLN reports. This story sucks. I thought it was going to go into something about skanks. It says, what is your understanding of the word skank? But what is your understanding?
My understanding?
Yeah. Anyway, May 8th, Areola's found guilty of first-degree murder and stabbing and shooting in 2008. And it looks like she'll receive the death penalty or be sentenced to life in prison. It'd be life. Why not? You get a free education and three squares a day. Hmm?
Sounds good. I think I'll steal your story next, Sean.
What, Areola? What, were you gonna do the Areola story?
No, I wasn't going to do the Areola story.
That's okay. I got to do the masturbation ritual.
Yeah, you did. So woman goes topless to get back at topless school, at Catholic school.
There you go. Boobies.
Woman goes topless to get back at Catholic school. Valerie Duds, a.k.a. Val West, Midwest. This isn't your typical revenge porn. When her former classmates at Lincoln, Nebraska Catholic High School, Pius X, okay, or I guess that's Pius X, sorry, contemplated going off to college, Valerie Duds decided to stay local and start her own business, a personal adult website under her modeling name, Val Midwest.
Ooh!
As news of her venture spread, drama followed.
Yeah.
All the pious kids.
Does it have the website?
That right there tells you something right there. All of the pious kids were saying mean things. And that's when, in quotes, I decided to go there and show them that I'm here to stay.
Here to stay.
Old ABC affiliate KETV.
She demands respect.
Hoo-ah! Yes. Hoo-ah! The 19-year-old took a series of nude photos on campus of her former high school over Mother's Day weekend.
For shame.
And recently received a ticket for trespassing and public nudity.
Well.
According to the Lincoln Journal-Star. In response, Doug visited the campus with a camera again. This time... She had her picture taken in by daylight with panties and pasties on.
Ooh.
A police spokesman told the Journal Star that unlike her Mother's Day shots, Dud's recent stunt did not break the law.
Why would she wear pasties if she was going to go Jed Clampett?
She didn't want to get arrested again. Dud said that she wouldn't stop there. I kind of want to go down to the courthouse and do the right thing right up front in my pasties and panties. That sounds fun to me.
Yes. I like this girl.
Sean, I think you and I need to start covering more courtroom cases.
Because
according to the City of Lincoln government website, blah, 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 it is the intent of the city to prohibit the exploitation of human nudity for the purpose of advertising, selling, or otherwise promoting. The economic intention to try and make a business, a sex business.
But you can have a sex business. It's freedom if she wants to do that.
I guess. Should Duds try to tire of trying the Lincoln pasties... It is perfectly legal for people to go topless in New York City, as number.
What'd you just say?
Her advocates have pointed out. I don't remember.
Did you say Lincoln wore pasties?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. Have a drink, folks. So apparently, I do remember hearing something about it being legal for people to go topless in Central Park at one point, but I didn't know that was still legal. I don't know. But that came from the Huffington Post as well. From just a few days ago, from just 2 days ago. So
that's fresh off the presses. That's just 2 days old. You'd still eat that if it was a sandwich on the counter.
Well, you might.
See, I got one for you. Listen to this idiot. Heath Campbell, Adolf Hitler naming dad, dressed in Nazi uniform to New Jersey custody child hearing.
Okay.
What an idiot. Heath Campbell entered the New Jersey courthouse Monday dressed in a full Nazi uniform, donning a trimmed mustache reminiscent of Adolf Hitler. The man he named... This is sitcom, man. The man he named his firstborn child after. Named his son Adolf Hitler. The 40-year-old dad was attending a hearing to ask for visitation rights to his youngest child, 2-year-old... Oh, no, it's Heinrich Hans. Was that Hitler's name, too?
I don't know. Get on the bus with Himmler.
I don't know. Who was taken into state custody just hours after his birth in 2011, so we know the guy's a winner immediately. Henrik's three Nazi-named siblings, Adolf Hitler 7, Joyce Lynn Aryan Nation 6, and 5-year-old Hans Lynn Gianni. Did you hear that last one? Joyce Lynn Aryan Nation. I'm thinking you're going to have some name changes when they go to school. When they go to college, they might say, you know what? They had already been placed in foster care in 2009. The move came a month after the family gained national attention when the ShopRite refused the right to write Happy Birthday Adolf Hitler on a birthday cake. On Monday, before the hearing, Campbell told NBC, the world needs to see who I am. When asked what his strategy was in wearing the controversial outfit, I'm going to tell the judge I love my children, I want to be a father, let me be it. In August 2010, an appeals court ruled that evidence of domestic violence justified the state's decision to remove the children from the Campbell home. According to ABC News, a year ago, a New Jersey Superior Court judge decided Campbell and his wife Deborah, who've since separated, could not have their children back. Good call, Judgey. Campbell has always maintained that his kids were taken solely because of their names. The kids weren't abused, he told the Star-Ledger after the 20... That's good. Was that a Nazi video or something?
Yeah.
With disco? Okay, he said the kids were never abused, at least physically. We all know they've been abused emotionally or mentally. The Star-Ledger said that if I have to give up my Nazism, then so be it. I'll do it. A month later, then how about it? You do it before you go to court to fight for him. Dong.
And trying to prove to the judge that you're right in what you're doing. Why don't you just go and try and get your kids and treat them right?
He said in 08 that he told the news people that he named his kid Adolf Hitler because he liked it. I don't want to read the rest of the story. This guy's an idiot. That's not even worth reading, huh? What an idiot.
I gotta watch you.
Yeah. What a weirdo. People are weird.
Scares me, man. He scares me.
Punch you in the mouth.
He does. There's people like that out there too, Demon Hunter. They'll probably burn our houses down after the show tonight. But they're out there. They are out there, guys. That's more scary than any monster you can imagine, you know?
Yeah, it's well, you know, what's the line from the Blues Brothers? Yeah, the Illinois Nazis got their right to march. God, I hate Illinois Nazis.
Hit it. Oh, that was great. Stand your line. Stand your ground. Demon Hunter, is that it for the news? You want to slide
in? I think that's it for the news today.
Want to do the news today? I feel like
we didn't have a lot of news. What are we going to talk about? Alligator takes bathroom break near California intersection?
I don't know. Are we dragging a little bit tonight? Are we dragging our feet a little bit?
I don't think we're dragging our feet. I think
guys, are we dragging our feet tonight? Let us know. I think we're bringing it home.
Do I need to take a shot of 5-hour energy drink right now?
5-hour energy drink. Demon Hunter, listeners around the world, the brand new segment that Nathan and I came up with. Are you ready? Just premiered last week. Ghostman and Demon Hunter Show's Legend X series. Yes! G&D Show Legend X, where we talk about everything. The Lizard Man, the Bigfoot, the Pudwudgies, the Mothman, and many, many more across the U.S., Demon Hunter.
If you have a legend that you want the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter to talk about on their show, to discuss, to discern, and maybe even...
Investigate.
Yeah. And...
Put it to the test.
We would be more than happy. Talk to you about that, especially since the one that I'm supposed to read now won't come out.
Oh, that's great. We'll just keep playing the music a little bit longer. Yeah, let me go back.
Play the music over and over again.
Legend X, where we track down legendary creatures, Sasquatch. And not just creatures, But local legends, ghosts, goblins,
sure.
Trolls.
Sure. We love those ghosts and goblins and other creatures.
Tonight, featured legend on Legend X is Demon Hunter.
Well, in my case, since I'm the one telling the story, it's
Let's
going
not forget-
to be the Black Dog of West Peak.
Midnight Syndicate.
Da-da-da.
Brought to you by Midnight Syndicate
and the Zombie Research Society.
There you go.
No, it's John. Basically, let's just get into the basics of this. The Hanging Hills of Central Connecticut, USA, is an area of mountainous ranges overlooking Meriden. Now, side note, ADD, I've done a lot of investigations in Meriden, so I know the area. It's considered to be the highest point on the eastern coastline that's within 25 miles of the ocean, the shore. So it's pretty much you're driving along the beach and all of a sudden you hit some hills and then all of a sudden you're in the mountains. What it is famous for is two things. The first is Castle Craig, which is literally, you're driving down 691 and you see this castle up on the hill. It's really not a whole castle, just part of the castle built on top of the mountain. But the other thing it's famous for is the Black Dog of Hanging Hill.
Is that next to Castle Pete? I think I've heard
no.
of it.
No. It's next to Castle List. Dragon List.
Ooh.
It's allegedly a supernatural hound that will appear. The Black Dog is similar to those found in other folklore in England and Wales and China and Africa. The folklore holds that the haunted region, that this folklore holds in the area since the 19th century.
Yeah.
That this Black Dog manifests, usually a small spaniel-looking dog. According to the legend, the first time you see it, it will bring you joy. The second time you see it, the misfortune will bring you sorrow. And the third and last time you see it, it will bring you death.
Inconceivable!
At least 6 deaths in Connecticut have been blamed on the third time meeting of the Black Dog.
Ooh.
One of the earliest accounts of the dog was published in the Connecticut Quarterly.
Yes, the Quarterly.
Trying to read it here. April or June of 1898 by New York geologist W.H.C. Fitkin. According to Fitkin, on February 1891, he and a geologist, Herbert Marshall.
Herbert.
Of the USGS were conducting geological research in the Hanging Hills when they saw the dog. It seems that the dog appeared once before. Marshall had seen the dog twice. Shortly after that, the two of them saw the dog a third time. Marshall slipped on the ice atop of a cliff and plunged to his death. His body was recovered by authorities. Reports of a Black Dog continue to this day.
Out of heaven.
Yeah. So Sean, I actually started looking this up because you Google Black Dog.
Yeah, it comes up Labradors.
Out of heaven.
It comes up Labradors, it comes up Spaniels. It comes up with these hellhounds from England.
Hellhounds.
Who are you calling a psycho?
I like hellhounds. They're my friends. We get along great. But honestly, I've gone out into this mountain range before. I have yet to find the Black Dog, even once, but I have, to this day, I do talk to people who claim they've seen it.
Okay.
But so I looked it up just to see what I could find, you know, Black Dog ghosts, Black Dog legends.
Yeah.
And apparently, yeah, it's everywhere you go, there's these Black Dog legends, everything from, you know, the one that I've just read about, to, you know, in England, there's a dozen different Black Dog and ghost dog beliefs. There's the Yeath Dog, which is also called the Yellhound. which is supposedly the spirit of unbaptized children running around wailing because they died before they were baptized. It just goes on and on and on.
Now, what part of Connecticut did you say these were hot in?
Were they hot in?
Yeah, were they been seen, the black dogs?
The black dogs of Connecticut? It's central Connecticut, the West Peak area, the Hanging Hills.
You know what we should do, Dan? The Hanging Hills of Connecticut. You know what we should do?
What's that?
We should contact the Hanging Hills Animal Control Center and see if they've had any reports or attacks of these black dogs. We should call them. We should get them on the show.
Well, what would be really interesting is if we found out if there were any reports of just, you know, stray black dogs in the area.
Yeah.
Who you calling a psycho?
All right. I think there's a lot of black dogs. That would be a hard one to prove, though. You know, it'd be hard to prove.
Apparently, you'd have to go out there until you saw it three times and see if you die.
Yeah. So you'd have to see the same dog three times.
But what if it takes you 50 years to see it three times? Do you still die with the third time you see it?
Yeah. Wonder if you die of natural causes when you see it the third time and you're 120 or 101. Would that still be considered a...
Who are you calling a psycho?
Paranormal death? Or... I don't know.
It could be.
That's going to be a hard one. Black dogs, because you have good black dogs and now you have hellhounds. Don't they have like horns or breathe fire? Or...
I don't think so. I don't think hellhounds breathe fire, dude.
I don't know. I looked up pictures for this segment tonight. Legend X, they were breathing, in the drawings, they were all breathing fire.
All breathing fire?
I thought the hellhounds looked like the ones in Ghostbusters. The creepy, scaly. I didn't know they were just black dogs.
You got me beat, brother. You got me beat. I don't know. You know what? You're right. I need a pick-me-up. I need a cup of coffee. If anybody is within the sound of my voice and they hear this, bring me a cup of coffee now.
Bring me a cup of coffee.
I'm ready for sex.
Yes. Yes, indeedy. Well, I tell you, Legend X, guys, every week we're going to cover a new legend across the world. And I tell you what's so interesting is, as long as me and Demon Hunter's been doing this, we found out that there's a legend in every town, in every city, in every little back road Bobstown. You find these legends, and there's got to be something to them. There's got to be. You can't just have a billion crazy people. Well, you can, actually. But, you know, people see these things. I remember when I was younger, always hearing about, of course, the most popular, Sasquatch. My mom herself said she's seen Sasquatch. Her and my aunt. Of course, that might have been back in her hippie days, where they were partaking of the marijuana cigarettes. I don't know. Have to talk to mom about that. But she said she's seen the Bigfoot. He was up in the mountains. They were traveling to Nevada, going to Vegas, and they seen it. They seen him. He was waiting up there. The big fella. So I don't know if they seen it or not. They took a picture apparently, but it came out missing. See, government could have been in my house.
Missing.
It did. It came
what
up.
What the heck, man?
I don't know. It was in my house.
Who that?
Mom said she took it, and it was in the family album, I guess, right next to my first tooth.
Crawling through the window?
Yeah. It might have been. It might have been.
The truth is, Sean Burris's father, Bigfoot.
Bigfoot. Harry Sasquatch, man. Dad, I wonder why Dad wasn't home that much when I was growing up. He's out lurking, stealing children and stuff in the night. We was watching Harry and the Hendersons last night, matter of fact.
Is it true that Bigfoot is not actually, like, it's not that you can't get a good picture of him, he's just fuzzy in general?
I think so. I think he just looks
like between dimensions, so you can never get a clear shot of him.
Wasn't there a cartoon like that or something? And they seen the Bigfoot, and news reporters were like, well, how comes it's always fuzzy? And Bigfoot showed up, and he was just a big blur. I think that's true. Yeah, we actually had a Bigfoot weekend. Me and the kids watched this one show. It's called Bigfoot, the Lost Coast Tapes. And, you know, I recommend it to anybody. It's like a docudrama.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, yeah. It's about this guy that pays $75,000 or whatever to go out with this Bigfoot researcher, like, you know, the guys we've had on here in the past, Tom Biscardi, stuff like that. And he goes out with this Bigfoot researcher, and they go to this location where this gentleman says he has evidence of Sasquatch. I'm not going to ruin the movie for you guys, but it's a huge twist. And, you know what? It was good. It was a good, low-cost production movie. I liked it. It was like a Chiller Network original, but it was good. So it was...
Chiller Network original, but good.
Yeah. So.
Are you saying something about Chiller Network original, Sarah Shaw?
Yes, we have a problem.
No, I like Chiller. I used to watch it all the time, especially during the day, man. They have the good old classic Twilight Zones on. Not the black and whites, the ones from the 80s. Remember those?
I do remember those.
There's one I really love out there, and for listeners and fans of the G&D show and the followers who get up in the morning and wear the Ghostman Demon Hunter Show t-shirt and brush your teeth with the official homemade Ghostman Demon Hunter Show toothbrush, you might want to YouTube, it's called A Note from Charity, or A Message from Charity. Yeah, A Message from Charity, and it's about this pilgrim girl that comes back. Oh, I can't ruin it for you. You got to check it out, though. It's good. It's good. When I was little, Demon Hunter, I always imagined myself like a young Rod Serling. And I imagine myself as a Rod Serling now because I can do it. Huh? You're entering a dimension, huh? Space and time. I can do it. I can do it. I think Rod Serling might have been my dad.
Well, which was it? Bigfoot or Rod Serling?
Yeah, it could have been both. That's why I'm so freaky.
I'm here for the gangbang.
Say. Oh, you mean Rod Serling was your dad, Bigfoot was your mom?
Bigfoot? No, mom's not my... I don't know. I don't know. Mom could be.
That's funky monkey.
She could have. I dated some girls I thought might have been Bigfoot at one time or another. I don't know. But anyway, guys, that was the new Ghostman Demon Hunter Show Legend X.
Woohoo!
Yeah, Legend X series. And that's something we're going to start doing every week. We're working hard to research these legends for you. And, you know, that's the funny thing. I just went to Brown County State Park probably about 3 weeks ago. And I was walking around and I had on the old Ghostman Demon Hunter Show t-shirt. And apparently I ran into one of our four fans of the show, and I thought, wow, small world. And he came up to me, and he was asking, I didn't tell you about this, he was asking if I knew the guys that did the Ghostman Demon Hunter Show, and I said, well, yeah, it's your lucky day. I know one really well, and I know two of them really well. And he said, oh, really? And I introduced myself, and he said he is a fan of the show. Used to listen back in the days when we started, when we were crusty, and he went right into... A Rougarou legend out in Brown County.
Rougarou.
And they have a moon rock to where the rock that apparently fell from the moon is in Brown County. And it is the driving power source behind this Rougarou. And why don't you explain what a Rougarou is, Demon Hunter, for our listeners?
A Rougarou is an Indian folklore mixed with of the Skinwalker, mixed with the werewolf legend of the French Canadians. When brought together in the Louisiana territories, it became the legend of the Rougarou. It is believed to be everything from a beast transformed due to his failure to follow his, or a man transformed to a beast due to his failure to follow Lent, to a Native American cursed being or medicine man.
Right.
Dun, dun, dun.
You got an emotional problem.
The thing about the Rougarou is, Demon Hunter, this wouldn't be our first go-round with the Rougarou.
No, we have faced off against the Rougarou before.
We have, actually. We went to a place, guys, one time when we were on the set filming EP, Extreme Paranormal on A&E. We went to this location down deep in the swamps. Manchek Swamp. And I think the owner kind of briefed us on the legend of the Rougarou out there. There was
well,
a sign.
The fact of the matter is we were down there searching another legend, and he started telling us about the Rougarou, and we said, oh, we'd rather go follow the Rougarou, but we were already under contract to go follow the other legends. So
yeah, that darn contract. We would have went out there, too. Funny thing about that place, that guy had like a billion cats. You remember that?
I do, and I still don't know how he managed to keep those cats, since right on the shoreline were like 50 alligators just sitting there waiting for the cats to get close to the shore.
Yeah. Waiting for marshmallow cats. Marshmallows. The guy who used to feed them marshmallows. That's real fun. That's real fun. You know, because they would be waiting for you when a human jumped in. They're waiting for you to feed them, so they'd have been all around you. Well, didn't you go... You jumped in there. Did you jump into Manchek?
No, I jumped in the Honey Island.
Honey Island.
Honey Island Swamp.
Scotty, beat me.
Yes.
And what happened?
Nothing. Everybody just screamed at me to get out of the water. And you know, I'm hydrophobic to begin with.
Yeah.
I won't go into water above my knees. And apparently in the swamps, it's the water that's up to your knees that's the real dangerous part, because that's where the alligators are sitting.
Was it a magical... you think the Rougarou is a magical beast?
I think the Rougarou is a monster of fierce possibilities, and I have no doubt that it truly exists and it's waiting for us.
Now, you know, the funny thing about the Bigfoot that I've always been interested in, you know, you always got the people say it can't be, and then you got the people say whatever. Me and my wife were coming back from this Smorgasbord Thursday night, and this huge thing ran across the interstate. You know, a busy interstate they ran across, and you've heard the stories. So
I've heard the stories.
Yeah, and then somebody said that there could be a gorilla, like a deformed gorilla, race of formed gorillas out there. A whole thing of them, whole schmear.
They just escaped gorilla, perhaps, from the zoo.
Yeah, that happens quite a bit. They don't tell anybody about that kind of stuff, so you never know. You never know if it could be a gorilla or not. But Bigfoot's always been one of my big ones. I always liked Bigfoot. Apparently everybody else did, too. Last week's guest and Tom Biscardi and those guys, so who knows?
It's true, true. You know, I just called down to the shop and asked for a cup of coffee, Sean. I will be in full force in just a little bit.
Full of force, everybody. Well, the thing about, we had Jim Snow on, too, and he was talking about the legend of the Lizard Man. Remember that?
Yes, I not only do I remember the Lizard Man, but I remember we were talking to them while they were on the hunt for the Lizard Man.
Right. So, I mean, that's
laughing at me. Why?
I don't know. It was there. The clip was there. I had to play it.
It's not right, man. Don't laugh at me, man.
I know.
Stop it.
Danger, Bill Robinson. Danger.
Danger. Anyway, Demon Hunter, we have some music to play by our tonight's band, Circus of Dead Squirrels. You can find out more about them at circusofdeadsquirrels.net. It's kind of a long song, so what do you say we close out for commercial and get the guest on the line, everything, and play this song for the folks? I don't want to cheat.
Do you really think we're ready for this, Sean, for this next guest?
I think we are. That sounds creepy.
You're going to need a bigger boat.
Jaws. How classic is that? Huh? That's classic.
I needed to see Jaws, right? That moment, for some reason, I just needed Jaws at that particular moment.
There you go. Everybody needs Jaws. I was watching it the other night, man. Classic. Classic. Just makes
I can't stop watching it. It comes on. It could be in the middle of the night. I come home from work at 2 in the morning. I'm exhausted. I sit down. The TV's on. Jaws is on TV. I have to sit down and watch the whole thing.
That's it. Farewell and you do to you, fair Spanish ladies, right?
Yeah, farewell and adieu, you ladies of Spain.
For we've received orders for to sail back to Boston.
And blah, 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 till we
see you again. We'll never see you again. Whatever, you messed it up. Ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, tonight's guest again, Aaron Ryder from Destination Truth and Chasing UFOs, guys. We go inside the reality TV shows. We go inside the conspiracy theories. And we ask Aaron Ryder the big questions tonight.
I was really afraid you were going to say we go inside Aaron Ryder, because I was going to smack you right there.
I'll stop myself right there. Okay, guys, we're going to take a break. Demon Hunter, Circus of Dead Squirrels, Death Saves the Derelict, coming up next on your D&D show. We'll be right back.
Woohoo!
Oh,
This is Marky Mark from Weird U.S. on the History Channel, and you're listening to the Ghost Man and... Hi, this is Mark Moran and Mark Skirman from Weird U.S. on the History Channel, and you're listening to the Ghost Man and... Hi, this is Mark and Mark from Weird U.S. on the History Channel, and you're listening to the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show.
Yeah, we are back, man. It's like, oh my gosh, it's like pulling teeth, huh? Hey, guys, tonight's band, special thanks to Circus of Dead Squirrels. Guys, find out more about them at circusofdeadsquirrels.net. Guys, thanks for the tunes. And thanks to Midnight Syndicate, man, for our Legend X series.
That is true. And I'll tell you, it's funny. We think back to Mark and Mark. How many people have we asked to say thanks for coming on the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show or listening to the Ghostman and get it wrong the first try, and they just... They had no problem with us playing all their mistakes there, man.
Yeah, baby. We should have just went with G&D. You know
what? Next up.
Huh?
Some say that she was born under a bad sign, Sean.
Ooh.
Some say that you should never take her with you when you're going to pick up a rent-a-car.
Voodoo lady.
Because bad things happen.
Uh-oh.
But most people say that if aliens ever do come to visit this planet, it will be because they want her autograph.
Yeah.
She is Aaron Ryder of the Discovery there you go, folks. Have a drink. There's my next mistake.
That's the drink bill, guys.
Of Destination Truth and Chasing UFOs. Aaron, welcome to the show.
Guys, thank you so much for having me. It was an incredible intro.
Well, he wanted to take it tonight. Yeah, very special guest. Demon Hunter is your number one fan. And I'm a big fan, too. And he said, man, I got to take this intro tonight. I said, all right, you do it. So here we are. And it messed
my
up the intro.
My wife and I argue over who's your number one fan, because she's pretty sure she is, but I'm fairly sure I am.
Well, I'll take that. I'll take as many fans as I can. I seriously, Josh and I are so happy for the support we get from everyone who loves the show and continues to watch week after week. And unfortunately, we're on hiatus right now, but we're hoping that all that love gets us a season six coming up real soon.
Well, believe me, Sean and I have been in that range before where we've done TV specials, and we know what it's like to sit there and wait for the next call saying, okay, we're going another season. So.
Loving you is easy because you're beautiful. Yeah. You're welcome, okay. Aaron. Welcome
so,
to the G&D show.
I know we only have you for a selected bit of time here tonight because you're out at out and about this evening, and we don't want to take you away too long, but we'd love to get as much time out. Just like anybody you work with, we want to get as much out of you as we possibly can. Right off the bat, Sean gave me rights to the first question here tonight, so I wanted to get out there and ask about, you're out there working on all these projects. You've got Destination Truth, you've got Chasing UFOs, and you're working in pretty much the spookiest locations that people can hunt down, and I just wanted to ask you, for you, what's the biggest challenge? The UFOs, the monster hunts, or the paranormal, ghostly research?
You know, I'd say they all have their unique challenges. Obviously, none of them are, a proper science just yet. It's still, in the research phases. But UFOs is quite hard and difficult. There's something, we still don't have in terms of, the greatest cameras when it comes to that. The paranormal and monsters, you can get pretty up close and personal. They're localized, usually to one location, yeah, on the ground, perhaps in one particular area, whereas, UFOs, the sightings are very vast. So that's always seems to be a little bit trickier, just finding the right cameras, the right gear to go out and do that. And also to get the witnesses that you really trust. I feel like you know, a lot of those witnesses aren't always people that you feel 100% confident that they're giving you, you know, accurate testimonies about what they saw, you know, what they encountered. Whereas, you know, for some reason, paranormal and monster really are, have these moments that are really affected by them. But it's case by case.
Yeah. So it's kind of like the people that tell you Bigfoot ate out of my garbage can, then they offer you a piece of the Virgin Mary toast where they seen it on the... It's like, hey, man, we got it all here, huh?
Right, exactly.
We ran into that a little bit, Demon Hunter. When we were out filming EP on A&E, we ran into those guys down in the down on the bayou, Aaron. We were interviewing them, and if I could understand what they were saying, I think they were kind of a little off. I don't know.
We run into a lot of really incredibly unique and special people, and everywhere we go is fun, and you never know what you're going to get, and I think that's what's great going out there.
You've definitely got you know, your work cut out for you, because it doesn't seem... I've been watching your work for a while now, and it doesn't seem like your producers are really worried about your safety.
Well, that's the trick, is that Josh and I are also the producers, so we're in charge of our own safety when it comes to that, and the crews. So we know our limits, and we're really careful, and we do a lot of research before we go out. You know, we have people with us that are, you know, local experts and guides in the area, and they're the ones that are really watching our back and protecting us. And you know, when we need security in certain areas, you know, if they've had any, you know, problems, you know, we have that. Or if we think that there might be a threat, you know, in the jungles or the woods, we always really, really come prepared. So we are out there and we do risk limb, but you never know what's going to happen. But we do our best to try to prevent anything that we can.
Well, I think it's interesting that you go out and you face monsters. You go out and you face ghosts. You go out and you face UFOs. And still on the web pages that talk about it, the scariest moment that people talk about is when you fell off your motorcycle, your dirt bike. And so everyone was so worried about you that became one of the scariest moments.
That was a really scary moment. I felt very unprepared for that. You know, I've had a lot of falls. I grew up a klutz, and I'm not really proud of, you know, how unathletic I sometimes look, but yeah, that was really scary. We were out in the middle of nowhere. You know, we were right in front of a monastery, and you know, with quick thinking by Rex, you know, and some the help of the locals, we were able to kind of, you know, make a little makeshift area where he was able to stitch me up just so I wouldn't lose too much blood before they eventually got me to the hospital. But yeah, it was really scary. It felt as though, you know, the worst case scenario. You're in a foreign land. Something really bad like that happened, and you know, it's a really test for the whole team to kind of come together and make sure that, you know, everyone goes out of there with all 10 digits and all 10 toes, you know. But oh, yeah. I'm happy for it. I've got the scars, and I've heard that guys dig them. So,
hey sis, I got a question for you. It's actually a 2-part question. I want to know, Aaron Ryder, little Aaron Ryder, were you did you always grow up like us on creepy stuff, love it, big passion? And part two, Bigelow Aerospace, Skinwalker Ranch, stuff like that. I want to get inside that. I want to check it out. I want to know what you think about it.
I'm so sorry. Can you repeat that, guys? I'm having a little trouble hearing that last question.
Yeah, I said the first time when you grew up, when did you know you loved the creepy, the weird, the strange? And the second part of that question would be Bigelow Aerospace. I wanted to get into that discussion with you and get your thoughts on that.
Oh, but Bigelow's fascinating. I think the Skinwalker Ranch and a lot of the artifacts that he's been able to put together are, you know, some of the best stuff that's out there. And you know, with his philanthropy and money, it's you know, a really unique opportunity. I'm completely interested in him. I first got interested in this stuff when I was really little, just like you guys. I mean, been fascinated by the mystery behind it all. I grew up in Hudson Valley. You know, we had a mass sighting around the time that I was born, and my grandfather saw stuff, my uncle saw stuff, and it really brought it really close to home and made it something that, you know, in the back of my mind, you think about a love, you think about a passion, you know, sci-fi and all that was definitely something that I grew up with. So kind of the best of both worlds, to be able to travel, to be able to, you know, research these different claims and everything that you know, were kind of true to my heart since I was little.
See, I think it's a 70s baby thing. I was born in 75, and everybody I know that was born in the 70s, the disco era, if you will, are the ones that are stuck on the creepy. I don't know if it was because the ABC Weekend Special always had like Banicula, the Red Room Riddle, always had creepy stuff on. What do you think? You think it's a generation kind of thing, or?
You know, the more I really do. I think that generation has seemed to be the first generation to really latch onto it. And start doing the real strong research and really looking into these encounters and starting to bring in the tools, which, you know, hadn't really been done. But, that was the first time, you know, when I go out there, it's the 70 babies that are really doing all the hard lifting and, you know, all the newbies that are kind of coming up with the gear are, you know, using them as their idols to kind of follow after. So I definitely think it's a generational thing, and I hope it doesn't get lost on kids coming up. I hope that they're, you know, learning from us and, you know, the people that kind of paved the way and, you know, kind of keep that going.
Absolutely.
So I have a question for you, Aaron, that, you know, it's not so much a question that I need you to answer, but so much to say, out of all the questions that you get asked, now that people look at you and you're walking down the street and they say, hey, look, it's Aaron Ryder, you know, and they come over and they start asking, which is the one question you wish they'd stop asking?
Everyone wants to know, why I'm not marrying Josh. That's one question. Everyone thought that we were a couple and he's now engaged to Hallie. And I think, I'm getting the question less and less now that he's kind of come out with it and he's asked her, but yeah, people always ask if I was with Josh and if I was, you know, together with him. But there's nothing that really bugs me. I think everyone is so open and earnest and they're just having fun with it. A lot of people don't even recognize me until they actually hear me. I think my voice is more recognizable than I am, because when I'm out and about, I'm not usually in khakis and wearing aviators and covered in mud. I'm usually looking a little bit more feminine, and you know, people have to do a double take before they really actually recognize me.
Oh, you ruined the whole thing for me, Aaron. It's ruined. Could you give me this? Let me have this. Covered in mud. That's how I always pictured it. Ruined the whole thing, Demon Hunter. She's taken away my my image. No, but Aaron, we got some questions from the chat room from Nitro Jill. She wants to know, how much do you know? UFOs, Bigfoots. I think people are starting to put you right up there with the Bigelow, the inside people that's not telling the whole story. What do you think?
They think that I'm not telling the whole truth?
No, the whole story. They think you know more than you can't say. You're under government contract. You can't release what you've seen. rumor.
The one incredible thing about working in this industry as somebody that kind of grew up more of a producer and more of a storyteller is that I want all of it out there. There's nothing that I would hold into myself unless, you know, it was real cloak and dagger, and I don't have that real secrecy on me. I'm not one of the elite yet. I think once you move up a little bit more, you get a little bit more told to you that perhaps you have to, you know, keep to the chest. I work with James Fox, and there's a lot of things he can't tell about his sources, you know, right. Military personnel that have actually come out to him. So I haven't really had that yet. I think everything that I've kind of put out there has been, you know, the truth, and I've been really proud of what we've been able to dig up. But once I do get those secrets, I think I'll be in a place where, you know, I'll be in a little bit more trouble than I already am right now.
That's what I was going to say, Aaron. As soon as you find out, don't you think the, because you've done this for a while, don't you think the guys in the black suits kind of walk up and say, can we have a word?
I don't know if I'd recognize him. I live in Los Angeles. I think that, you know, I was on the set of Men in Black.
Yeah, no doubt, man. No doubt. A Mothman, Loch Ness Monster, Bigfoot, Hell Dogs, or was it Demon Dogs, Demon Hunter? Hellhounds.
Black Dogs, Ghost Dogs, Demon Hellhounds, yes.
Yeah. What's your biggest, what are you the biggest fan of? You've been out there, we love it all, but if you had to pick one, what would you say? But what about Pudwudgies? Do you know what a Pudwudgie is?
I don't think I do.
I stumped Aaron right. Hey, let me tell you, Aaron.
Hey, don't take. Hey, Sean, she could throw out 1,000 things.
Yeah, I know, but I'm going to take this moment. Come on. Noah, a Pudwudgie, because we do a Legend X each week, Aaron, on the show here, G&D show Legend X, and Pudwudgie was last week. It's a 2-foot-tall magical creature. Kind of looks like a gnome or a troll that the Native Americans in Connecticut and here in Indiana say roam the forest and eat humans. Yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic. I think, you know, the lore within the U.S. is something, it's so bizarre because you know, obviously I'm from New York and I live out on the West Coast, and I'm more familiar with some of the more international mysteries than I am some in our own backyard. It's, you know, almost every week where I'm hearing from a fan telling me about something in my own backyard that I never really heard about. So I love it. I love it.
Well, that's what Sean and I do. We go out to those people who are saying that, you know, there's this stuff going on in their backyards, and they want to tell the story, and so that's what we research and check out, because it seems every town you go to, that's what's going on. There's a legend out there.
Absolutely, I really do, and I think a lot of them overlap just a little bit in terms of, you know, culture and when where you grew up and all that good stuff. But it's fascinating. It really is, and there's a truth behind it, no matter what. You just don't know what that truth is, but there's always a truth behind something.
Hey, Aaron, have you ever been to a place, sis, like when you go out there, you can feel the energy? Like when I went to Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, I don't know how many times, and standing out there on the battlefield, you can just feel that energy, and you know something else is out there. Have you ever been to a place like that you could just feel it coming up through your feet, down your up your spine, and to your head?
Absolutely. The Aoki Nemura Forest, which is the base of the Mount Fuji forest area right there, is called the Suicide Woods, and that was probably the scariest I've ever, or you know, the most palpable location with the strongest energy that I've ever felt. It was really kinetic, powerful, dark stuff, and you know, I really wasn't able to shake it for quite some time. But that was probably one of those places where you were told what was going to happen. You walked in, you immediately felt it, and you knew something was going on there.
Yeah. See, I want to go there now. Let's pack up and let's go. Huh?
Well, Aaron, I don't think, you know, it's been years since I've watched the episode that I don't even think that you were working on the project at the time, because I think it was, well, maybe it was season two when they went to the Island of the Dolls.
Yeah, they went to the, that was, Jael joined the team at that point in time,
right.
And it was Mike Morrell and Jael, and I believe Vanessa was out there with him. Yeah, that was a very tiny island off of, you know, the coast of Mexico, and it's a place that, you know, if you were around there, you should go check it out. It's unlike anything you've ever seen, and it's, you know, a place where nightmares go to vacation, I swear.
Well, the funny thing is, you know, Sean knows that I only have really two fears. I'm hydrophobic, and I have a fear of trolls. Don't ask me why. I just have a fear of trolls. I can't take them. They're scary creatures.
You're scared of birds. Birds!
not so much the, you know, the little troll dolls that you see out there, but, you know, the kind of like cat's eye from Stephen King trolls that live in the walls.
You're crazy.
Don't be afraid of the dark trolls. So he's always trying to bring up things that involve trolls or my having to get into water. And I happen to know Sean's biggest fear is haunted dolls. So I need to take him to the island of haunted dolls.
I have no fear.
Yeah, that's if that's something you're fearful of, that is the one location you want to stay clear of. In terms of trolls, there's been a lot of, you know, Norwegian lore, and you know, it's kind of that upper Europe area where that is. So that's where you'll want to go, and you know, kind of fight your fears up there. We did an elf episode, and we did a leprechaun episode. We haven't really done a troll yet, so that's on our radar. I'll just make sure you're out there on that investigation with us.
It's funny because I was raised on a Pennsylvania Deutsch farm, so you here in the U.S., so you wouldn't think I'd have much fear of trolls, but troll stories are very deep into the Pennsylvania Deutsch society.
Really?
So I was raised to think if I wasn't good, the trolls were going to come up and eat me out of the basement. You know,
you had a happy childhood. Oh, happy.
The trolls
Everyone's got something.
Trolls were our boogeymen, you know. It's
yeah. Anyway, hey, Aaron, talking about UFOs, a lot of people have claimed to see these things. I've had a lot of people in the family that said they've seen them. And I work around the a lot of aircraft, stuff like that. And I've seen planes on its final descent coming into the runways where it almost looks like the side of a circular shape type vehicle. How many of these do you think, these reports, are just misidentified by the observers?
I've been 95%.
Yeah.
You know, I'd say 90 to 95% are you know, misidentified objects. You know, stuff that you see out of the corner of your eye, or you catch on video, and you know there's something, you know, interesting or unique about it. But yeah, we concentrate, when we were doing Chasing UFOs, we were really concentrating on that 5 to 10% that we truly believed weren't misidentified objects. That there was something more to the story. There was something more to the video that you just couldn't, you know, describe away with just, you know, an airport being closed or, you know, some strange lights in the sky.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, do you think these are actually alien craft? Do you think it's a military experiment that's they don't want anybody to know about? What do you think? All the above?
I think it's both. I really do. You know, when we hear about, you know, things, you know, when someone uses the word crash, I find it very unlikely that it's, you know, someone else coming and visiting. You know, it feels to me more like our military or another military that's, you know, we know that our military is about 10 to 15 years ahead of us. So we're not going to hear about what they're working on right now for another 10 or 15 years after that advance. You know, drones had been around for, you know, eons before they were actually, you know, out and being, you know, admitted that they were being used. So I do believe that it's heavily militarized. But then there's a few that just have these characteristics that are unlike anything that fuel propulsions we have. And, you know, the technologies we have can support.
Okay.
Gotcha. Now, I was just looking over some stuff here, Aaron. There's another project that you're producing coming up called World's Worst Tenants.
Yeah, you know, I started as a producer. I've been producing since 2003. And, you know, I work on a lot of projects outside of the ones that, you know, I'm on camera for and do a lot of research for. So that's one show where I was just lending, you know, my storytelling abilities to kind of put together a really, you know, unique project. It's more of a recreation of some property managers. And it's you know, it's those neighbors that everyone's had or everyone, you know, has right now that are just the worst people that they have no care for anything else but their own ridiculous property. So it's a fun project. I loved who I got to work with. It's just not in the realm that I usually, you know, am associated with.
Well, I got to say that I was when you I of course keep all your information up here, and it had you listed as a producer and executive producer for Destination Truth, but it didn't even occur to me to think that you were the one picking out the vehicles you guys drove in. And I just wanted to say how happy I was to see a producer pick out the worst vehicle for themselves, because when Sean and I were working in TV, they would literally, like, give us this rickety old boat to go down the river, and meanwhile, you know, the producers were on the yacht in front of us. You know, it's,
that's the trick, is that we literally go out there with, you know, the five of us, so it's all of us in one vehicle and maybe, you know, a guide with a vehicle in front of us. So a lot of the times we're actually borrowing, you know, a neighbor's or our guide's, you know, second truck, or, you know, there's not an Avis rent-a-car when we're going to these places. So we have to, you know, make do with what we can kind of find. And as you can see in the past, it hasn't always worked out perfectly, but we always manage. We always seem to get there some way, shape, or form. It just, you know, usually puts Josh in a bit of a mood before we do get there.
Now, how often does Josh actually get sick from the stuff that he eats when he's out with you?
How often does he what, sorry?
Does he get sick from that stuff that he eats when he's out with you?
I will say, because of all that we've done so far, we have pretty iron stomachs. But, you know, you go anywhere international and it's just going to change your gastro, you know, way of life. But yeah, we've eaten such horrible stuff, from balut to, you know, the durian fruit, which just tastes like dirty old socks, and, you know, these drinks, these murky, awful drinks, or this raw fish or food, or we had dog one place, we had raw shark one place. I mean, you're eating everything, and yeah, you know, but you have to be careful because you do know that you're going to be in the middle of nowhere, and your only care is going to be, you know, the Rex or, you know, one of the other great guys we've had with us. And you got to be careful because you can't be out of commission for an investigation, you know.
Yeah.
Josh and I have, and a couple of the other crew members have fought through some really long and hard and brutal stomach ailments as we've also had to then go battle the elements.
I could see you guys getting busted out there at the Skinwalker Ranch, relieving yourselves. Somebody's got an upset tummy. What are you doing here? Hands up.
Then, yeah, then you're shitting in the middle of a haunted temple somewhere.
What are you doing to the ranch? Nothing, sir. I'm here for the aliens.
I've got a text here with a question for you. They want to know, so do you now avoid white dogs?
No, I have one. It's so bizarre. I swear they cut out of that episode. You know, the Ash Wang was known to shift, you know, shapeshift, and one of the creatures that it shifted into were dogs and cats, and they were white, which is very unique to the area because you're in the middle of the Philippines. There's no white anything. It's dirty. There's monsoons, yeah. And you know these animals live in you know swamps. So we go out there and to see where we had been the entire afternoon for 2 days with our guides to see a pure white dog looking like the RCA dog staring at me after I just left this, you know, supposedly haunted church. It was a little much for me. It felt like someone had planned that. Someone had put that there. And then when we were leaving, the villagers actually wouldn't travel anywhere near me or in cars with me or vehicles with me because they said that the dog was following us.
Oh, yeah, man.
I went and adopted a white dog, so I think the irony is on me now.
Now you're the white dog lady. I tell you what, Aaron, I know we got to wrap up here in a couple minutes. I got off topic with my ADD, and I didn't get to go into Bigelow Aerospace. How close have you guys came to the Skinwalker Ranch, if you have? And what do you think is going on out there? Do you think Bigelow knows about UFOs, stuff like that, or no?
I think he has the most financial means to have access to more than anyone else right now in the world, aside from, you know, the top level military. If there's, and he says he's sitting on a lot of really great stuff, and it's just a matter of timing on his part. But you know, he's working on a lot of incredible projects with space, with travel when it comes to that, you know. And it seems very fitting that he'd have more knowledge into the subject than anyone else. So I've always been, you know, hip to that and wondering when he was going to kind of, you know, release more information than he really has, because he's pretty mum. But people that know him, you know, trust that he wouldn't put anything out there, you know, unless he really was sitting on something great. So yeah. I'm fascinated by it. I've not gotten as close as I'd like. It's one of those things where eventually I'd love to, you know, have some time with him, but it's a rare occurrence, and it's not something for somebody that, you know, isn't a really good friend of his or someone that he really trusts.
Yeah. You know, I started reading up to get some good questions for you on this show, and it wasn't real hard. And I started getting on the Bigelow, of course, and Skinwalker Ranch, and we had one guy come on. Remember this demon hunter? He wouldn't even talk. He was outside the Skinwalker Ranch. He was afraid to even speak. I think he stayed on 15 minutes and he had to go. But people are scared out there. There's some stuff going on. Have you ever been in fear for, let's say, well, I know your life because you risk it out there while you're shooting, but have you ever been fearful of being shot or alien attacked or anything like that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's been numerous times where I've felt like, you know, we were, our lives were in danger. So, for being, there's been numerous times where I felt like our lives were in danger for getting too close to something. I don't know.
Sure. I think so. Nathan, do you have any more questions? Because I know Aaron's got to go.
I know Aaron's got to go. Aaron, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm so sorry, guys. I'm about to lose you. I'm so thrilled to be on here. I honestly, it's been such a treat talking to you guys. I wish I had some more time. I'd love to join you guys again.
It's not a problem. We understand completely. Is there any chance before you could go, you could, you know what? I can tell you're busy. So I won't even go into it. I just wanted to know if there was one place out of the places you've hit so far you could go back and look for more evidence, what would it be?
I think the aliens got her, Nate.
I think the Pudwudgies got her.
Pudwudgies, aliens all above. Aaron, are you out there?
Well, on that note, folks.
G&D to Aaron. G&D to Aaron. Houston, we have a problem. Demon Hunter, that's it. What a great interview, huh? What a way to end it.
Well, yeah, either the Pudwudgies or the aliens got her. Maybe it was the folks from the Skinwalker Ranch.
I think it was. The government's, man. Bigelow Aerospace. What I was talking to her about that. Bigelow bought the... bought into MUFON, where it was they made the reports open to the public. MUFON's always prided himself on that, and Bigelow bought into it and concealed these reports from the public. Now you got to ask yourself, why? Why would this multi-billion-dollar man, huh, come out and do something like that and spend money on spacecrafts? And did you know he's the only citizen, privatized citizen, that can actually take arms, weapons into space? That's over NASA and our government.
Mm.
Ah, makes you think, guys. Demon Hunter, what do you think? What a great interview.
I think it's a great interview, and unfortunately, she's not even on the phone for us to be able to say thank you, Aaron Ryder, for coming on the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show tonight, because she is the bomb, and I wish she was able to hear us say that. But on that note, Sean.
That's it. On that note, guys, special thanks. Huh? Special thanks?
To Aaron Ryder from Destination Truth and Chasing UFOs, and to Midnight Syndicate and the Zombie Research Society for all the wonderful things they provide us. And I guess this week we should thank the Huffington Post for that wonderful video, Sean.
The masturbation video. Hey, guys, listen, listeners around the world, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. What was I going to say? Special thanks, Midnight Syndicate, Serial Weird, and Creations by Souls Denounced. Hey, guys, this has been another Haunted Backroads exclusive interview. Don't go changing America. You know we won't. Demon Hunter,
we love ya.
Night, guys.